Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Bonjour.
Oh, why are you all French?
That's all I learned today. I was in French class today. That's all I remember.
Why are you taking French class?
Oh, because, they told me how to say this. How do you say money because in reason? French? How do you say
Argent?
Money? Argent, oui, les argent.
No, because money?
Because money. No, like being bilingual really helps in this great country of Canada. Let us remind everybody, all our new listeners, that we're Canadian. And at any point, we are going to switch from English to French, just like our national anthem.
Completely randomly.
Yeah.
So you're doing like courses through work? Or?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I honestly didn't I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk about this, but yeah, we're gonna be doing French classes at work, and I'm trying to integrate gaming into learning French as best as possible. Like we've talked about this in the past. I talked about this with Val, one of our first fans of the show, who is French, fully mm-hmm. bilingual,
from
awesome
Quebec?
Person. Yeah,
or sorry, Quebec.
Quebec. they eat how do you say the poutine?
Poutine.
That's not right. Now we've pissed off our English listeners and our French listeners. But I had said, like, it'd be, you know, a really good way to learn French, or any language, rather, is to immerse yourself in that language. And since I can't afford to live in merry old Paris for a good 6 months...
Oh, you're missing out.
I know, I heard it.
Well, it's different French anyway. Quebec French right. is not the same as Paris French.
Yeah, no, that's true. My French teacher was telling me that, but... A good way to immerse might be to, you know, take a game that you loved and have already beaten and kind of know, like, all the story beats and stuff and just switch the audio dialogue to French. I was actually going to replay the Mass Effect series completely in French.
Actually a really good idea and yeah. something that I might do, except for the only problem I can see with that is that any kind of video game that is in a sci-fi or fantasy type realm is like... At some point, you're probably not going to be able to tell if they're speaking French or if it's like some kind of planet name or a new race or something.
That's true. They'd be like...
For instance, well, I mean, like Wildstar, the Oren, that race sounds a whole lot like it could be French.
Yeah.
Loren.
Loren? No, Loren, oui.
And then you think it means like grass or something.
Like, why does that person keep referring to us as grass? I don't get it.
Exactly. Just don't worry about it, man. It's fine.
It's French.
It's all good.
No, I never thought about that. That's a good point. Maybe I should pick like a game that's like boring.
Something that doesn't make anything up.
Like maybe like a game that's more like story based, like maybe like Gone Home. It's not boring was the wrong word, but just a game where it's like set in the real world and it's just dialogue.
Yeah, somewhat reality based.
Yeah, which looking at the list, if we're going to use this as a transition, I just want to make sure. Yeah, there's really nothing in here that's reality based that we talked about.
not even a little. No. I prefer my games a little bit out there because I don't like to be immersed in reality any more than I have to be.
We live in reality all day. I mean, who wants to keep doing that after 10 or 16 hours? Come on.
Speaking of being immersed in reality, so I was so not immersed in reality the other day because I was on the bus and I was sitting there being a good girl, minding my own business. I had my earphones in. I was listening to The Instance and I was playing Threes. Entirely missed my bus stop. The bus got to the end of the line and she pulled over to the last bus stop and then actually pulled the bus like off to the side and had to come and tap me on the shoulder and tell me to get off the bus because I literally had my phone like this in front of my face playing Threes and the earphones in with, you know, like Scott Dills and Terpster going at my ears. And I was just like, Threes, this is amazing. And then she's like, you have to get off now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, crap. And then I totally missed my connection to work. I was late, and it's all Ben's fault
from
Moob Radio because he started me on Threes.
Oh, I see. So is this like, let me put it into context so everybody understands. This is like, and I feel I can do this for any scenario, but this is like that episode of The Simpsons where Lisa gets on the bus, and then she gets off at the wrong stop, and then Homer has to convene it or steal like a cherry picker. Is it kind of like that? Is that exactly what happened? Joel had to get a cherry picker
yeah.
and then his head got stuck in a bridge.
Close.
It's kind of like that. No.
It was actually kind of terrifying because where the bus pulls over, there's like three lanes at the terminal that other buses go down in between, like, you and the platform. When you're on the bus, you're not supposed to be on anymore. So I had to cross like three lanes of bus traffic, and the whole time I was like, I'm gonna die all because of this stupid video game.
Man, that's like my worst fear. And I have a lot of worst fears.
I am usually so aware of my surroundings. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I just, like, I usually don't have earphones in, or if I do, I turn the volume down. I'm always looking around. I just... Not that I'm constantly afraid to be outside and around strangers, but I definitely have a general awareness that, you know, some people may not. So I try to keep that level of awareness. So for me, it was like, I'm always afraid almost of being embarrassed. Like, that's my biggest fear. It's not that I'm afraid I'm going to get, like, raped and murdered. I'm afraid that I'm going to be extremely embarrassed.
Yeah, it's Halifax, not Detroit. I mean, let's be honest.
Exactly. And especially, we Canadians tend to fall in line. So, this happens, it's like, oh my God, I didn't follow the rules. My life is over. Canada's going to kick me out.
Well, you missed your bus stop. You didn't, like, murder somebody.
I know, but that's the extent to which my, like, social norms and embarrassment, that's how far it goes, is, like, my social anxieties, I guess you can call it, is I'm so afraid of, like, breaking the rules or breaking the social norms that, like, when I forgot to get off the bus, it was, like, the end of the world for the day.
So did she think you were, like, one of those people that just rides a bus? Like, there are people that exist like that. They just ride the bus all day. They get, like, a pass, and that's their thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just asking, like, is that what she thought you were?
I don't really know what she thought. I think, because, like, I must have looked like I thought she was going to, like, shoot me in the face or something. Like, I must have been like,
what did I do? Did I eat on the bus? Is this kindergarten again? Oh, my God.
And then I was just like, oh, my God, I am so, 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 so sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I never do this, I swear.
Of course you apologized. I mean, as if we had to remind them that this is a Canadian podcast. Like, the first words that come out of your mouth when you didn't do anything wrong. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I did something very wrong. I stayed on the bus past the last stop, Ryan.
Oh, you're allowed to do. Well, okay, wait.
I don't know. Yeah, see? See?
Now that I don't know, I've never stayed past last stop. Like, I mean, I would assume buses would just...
normal people don't do that.
Why didn't they let you out of the terminal?
Well, they pulled up to the terminal.
Oh, well, then you're fine. I mean, you can get off at the terminal.
They pulled up to the terminal. That's the stop I missed. The terminal spot I missed.
Oh.
You're right?
Oh, okay. So they took you to, like, the garage, but they store the buses? Good thing she didn't have a knife in her hand. You would have thought she was trying to murder you. As Jaden in the chat room saying, it's alarming if it's woodsy. Did you see your surroundings? You're lucky you were still in the city.
Yes, it was bushy, not woodsy. The foliage did not go above my waist, so we're good.
Yeah, so it was still, you could still, like, see over top. It's like, okay, we're still in civilization. Perfect. But what about this game? This magical game that took your attention away. Threes. I've been hearing things about it. This is the first life-threatening story I've heard about it. So,
and to be fair, it wasn't actually, like, life-threatening. It was just alarming, a little out of the norm.
Okay.
So basically what Threes is you start off with a board that's like 4 squares wide by 4 squares tall. Mm-hmm. And there are randomly placed 1s, 2s, and 3s. And what you have to do is slide the board around to combine the 1s and 2s to make 3s, and then the 3s to make 6s, and the 6s with the other 6s to make 12s. And you try to make the biggest numbers that you possibly can. And I'm still... not necessarily struggling, but it still catches me pretty often because you move the whole board left or right or up or down. So it's not just like if I've got a blank space and then a 3 that I want to put next to another 3, if I move that line, like the whole board moves that way. So it's a little bit to kind of get used to. And then every time you move the board, it gives you more like 1s and 2s and 3s. And then as you progress and as you go on longer and longer and longer, you'll get bigger numbers. So sometimes you'll get 6s and 12s and 24s and so on. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of the game is that once you have no more moves, then you get a total score. But it is the most addicting game I have ever played on iOS. Like, really? I just I finish one and I'm like, restart. And I finish another one, I'm like, restart, like over and over and over and over and over again. When she first tapped me on the shoulder, I was pissed off because she interrupted my game.
You almost like hit her, like, get away from me, crazy bus lady. I'm trying to
beat
threes.
Do you not know I'm playing threes?
So, Play Goo in the chat room asked an interesting question. Is she explaining 2048? And this is sort of the story. Have you heard the story about like 2048 being a copycat of threes?
Yeah, so basically from what I can understand is that threes came out, became insanely popular, and then other kind of copycat, same idea as Flappy Bird.
Right.
Flappy Bird came out, and then there was like birds that flap and bird versus pipe and, you know, all these other kind of ripoffs of the same idea. So
they said yes, they like approve like 50 versions of Flappy Bird a day, and they just have to keep taking them. I mean, what's the point in having a moderated system if you're going to let games get through only to take them off the store?
Exactly. Talk so, about creating jobs. Yeah, 2048 is exactly the same idea, except for I think it's 2 4s, like 2 4 8 16 instead of 3 6 12 24 on and on and on. So,
oh, this looks cool. So I was just looking at it. So it's a $1.99 universal app. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying totally it's worth it. Totally worth it.
Well, the thing is,
oh, it's a third off.
I was gonna say I thought I paid $2.99 for it.
Yeah, it says 33.333333333% off for a limited time. So yeah, get on so that, fellas. And
so you should pick it up because, I mean, this is kind of what I'm starting to come around to with iOS games, is that I'm willing to pay the extra $2, $3, even like $4 or $5 if I then don't have anything behind a paywall. There's no microtransactions, there's no ads, there's no none of that. Like, all of it is just strictly like, you pay the price and here's your game. Threes is a very, very simple game. There's not much to it. There's like the one game mode that's just like, do you want to play threes? Play threes. And it's just like this one thing that you do over and over and over again, but it's a constantly evolving puzzle. And it's like, well, if I move the whole game board this way, what happens? So
it reminds me a bit of that game, a similar idea. We were addicted to it. Letterpress. Very well-designed app. Very beautiful. It was a price, $1.99, and you unlocked everything and you enjoyed it. And it was a lot of fun and people
were addicted. I completely forgot about that game.
Yeah. So that's good. I mean, I'm right there with you on iOS. And I'd even go a step further to say that I enjoy these titles more on iOS than on any other platform, and also these are the only types of titles that I kind of really get into on iOS. Like, I've got, I mean, there's a new AAA title that comes out on iPad and iPhone every week that's like $10, Infinity Blade 3, get the experience of the console on your iOS tablet, and I'm like, that sounds great, I'm gonna buy it and play it and enjoy it, but it doesn't hook me, you know, because I can experience that stuff on other systems in a better, you know, a better environment. So
the only thing that I want on my phone / iPad that normally I play elsewhere is Hearthstone. And that's only because the experience of Hearthstone is very, very, very similar to what I'm looking for out of a mobile game.
Sure.
Almost to the point that I would consider Hearthstone, especially after playing it on the iPad, I would consider like the Hearthstone PC release almost to be like the port from the iPad. You know, like, it's a simple game. It's short. It's like, it does take a lot to collect all the cards and to master the strategies and all the rest of it, as most of these mobile puzzle games do. And it really doesn't change from the experience on the iPad to the experience on the PC. So, I mean, really and truly, you're not losing out anything by going to the mobile space versus a lot of these other things that say, get the experience of the console. It's like, well, they don't really mean that because they can't duplicate that on a mobile device. So
so is Hearthstone outside of the three regions from last week just as an update? I didn't see anything about it. No, okay. So much for that
still
theory.
Still just us.
That it was going to be in the States. I was talking to Paul about it like a day after it announced for Canada. It's like, it'll be out in the States on the weekend. Don't worry about it. It's like, okay.
They did say, because that's normally the way, like, I mean, yeah, I know Plants vs. Zombies 2, we had for, what, 3 or 4 days before they released it everywhere?
Yeah, but it was like, months in New Zealand. Like, they had it for months.
So, and I mean, we've talked about this before. I think it might have even just been last week, where they often use Australia, Canada, and New Zealand as like a beta test market, soft launch, all the rest of it, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
And generally, when Canada gets it, the U.S. gets it within a couple of days. Blizzard has said that they're expecting the U.S. release to be within the next couple of weeks, but there's definitely a delay between Canada and the U.S. So... I think it's really going to explode when it hits the U.S., and I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's one of my favorite games, and I do an entire podcast about it, so the more, like, hype and the more people playing, the better. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, but the U.S. release is going to be a couple weeks out still.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope it comes out soon, but you're right. Like, you're not only looking at people who don't have a PC that want to play it on PC, but you're also looking at everybody who's playing it on PC and now wants it on their iOS device. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense for Blizzard to hold it back.
Aslan in the chat room is saying that heaps of people in the U.S. are bypassing the restrictions. That is true.
Yeah, Dills, I heard he's a Canadian citizen, and he got called out by the devs on Twitter today.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So, basically, like, the Gamers Inn would like to say that we do not promote the breaking of both Blizzard and Apple's terms of services. We would like to say that if you do not live in Canada, you should probably not make fake accounts or use fake IP addresses or all the other workarounds. The Gamers Inn does not endorse this kind of behavior.
Well, we would understand if you did, because Hearthstone's great.
We'll take you, but...
True, but I think you'd need, like, a Canadian credit card and all that fun stuff.
So, anyways, I do know that a lot of people in the States are bypassing the restrictions. I still think that it's a small group, the really hardcore, both techie and hardcore Hearthstone fans that are bypassing these restrictions. I think a lot of people in general are just waiting, and I think that Hearthstone will do very, very well once it's actually available officially in the U.S. store, because then it's going to be, you know, like one of the best-selling, you know, because even then it's a free app. You don't have to pay for the app, which was one of the questions that came into Angry Chicken. So the app for Hearthstone, completely free. You still have the transactions that you have to go through in-game if you want to, you know, get packs or whatever. But in general, it's, the actual app itself is free. When you do transactions in-app, it does try to go through the Apple Store, because I couldn't do transactions on the iPad because it's set up with Joel's Apple ID, not mine. So
right. So you don't know his password to charge all those packs to his credit card?
Which is unfortunate, because I could have just been like, early birthday present! Early birthday present! Early birthday present!
Yeah. Eventually it'll add up, right? that's good. But 3's highly recommended. I should buy it right after the show and not finish Wolf Among Us. I should just play 3's.
Absolutely. And everyone in the chat room should go and buy it right now as well, because it is awesome. There's no ads. There's no annoyingness. It's just the game, which is great.
Good. Well, that's good. And don't play it on the bus.
No. Well, you can play it on the bus. Just make sure you don't have earphones in that are taking away all auditory cues.
And Asylum or Aslam in the chat room says that we should all order comfy toilet seats like he did for Hearthstone. I think, you know what? I've never been a fan of those comfy toilet seats, because they just make your butt sweat. It's disgusting.
I don't understand. I don't spend that much time in the bathroom. I could not get through a match of Hearthstone in the bathroom. What is wrong with you people that you need to be in the bathroom for like 15 minutes straight? Like, you should go get that checked.
I think maybe like... older people, like Reader's Digest people.
Reader's Digest.
Like, I don't know. We're not going to talk about this. I mentioned South sweaty Park butts. We should move on. Like, this is not South Park. We can't talk about pooping.
So, have you been playing anything in the mobile space this week?
Well, I picked up a title on 3DS called Rusty's Real Deal Baseball. And it's funny you mention, and I agree with you, our sort of hatred for free-to-play and locking stuff behind a paywall. But the reason I tried this is because it's Nintendo's answer to free-to-play, their second title that's going to be free. It's not really free-to-play, because everything is locked behind a paywall. It's really free-to-try. It's a story based around a former baseball player that just happens to be a dog. And he owns this shop, and he sells these like games that are basically mini games, and you have to buy them from him for real money. And when you you download
so on your 3DS, essentially the game is locked behind a paywall.
Well, yeah, it's like it's the whole game.
So the game is not really free to play. But it's free to download the vendor who then sells you the game.
That's why Nintendo is calling it free to try.
Oh, Nintendo.
I know. It's weird, but it's kind of super interesting that they're trying this, because it's essentially a game with a built-in demo, because when you download it for free off the eShop, it comes with probably the best mini game, at least the best one I've played so far, which is they're all baseball related mini games, and the best the first mini game they give you is like a how do I put this, like a home run derby. So like they'll keep pitching balls at you, and you just kind of have to like hit the A button to hit it out of the park and stuff. And, I mean, okay. It sounds super simple, but it's actually really fun. And again, this is all free.
I shouldn't laugh. I was going to say, like, it sounds super simple, but it's actually really fun, which is exactly like my description of threes. Because I was about to laugh, like, oh, yeah, that's simple, but it's totally fun. And I was like, oh, wait, hang on.
Again, everything I'm describing, this is all free to try. So there's, like, zero barrier to entry for everybody to try it. And it's on 3DS, and it's the one Nintendo. You guys should be happy. I'm talking about a Nintendo title that you'll actually be able to go out and buy. I mean, come on. Let's be honest here. So anyways, when he gives you the demo, and I guess he's a down on his luck kind of guy. His wife's left him or disappeared. He's got 8 kids to feed, and he's like, I really need these games to sell. Won't you help me, please, please, please? The story is super quirky and funny, and kind of like out of left field for Nintendo. Like, usually they do like crazy, quirky, funny. This is like crazy, quirky, kind of like sad. Why are we talking about a dog whose wife disappeared or left him? And he's like taking care of 8 kids all on his own, and it's like child support type stuff, and his shop has fallen apart, and it's just really weird. And I guess once you finish with the demo, you go back to the shop, and he says, how'd you like the demo? Do you want to try it now? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, as you play the mini game, you unlock stamps that give you items and abilities to decrease the cost of the mini games. Because when you go into the shop, the mini games cost you $4 each. And he says, like, all right, I'm willing to give you this for the low, low price of $4. And you're like, oh, no. His son comes in and says, hey, if you give Dad a donut, he'll be in the mood to haggle. Yeah, this is all in the game. You give him the donut, and he says, oh, man, I'm super happy now. And the screen goes, like, Japanese flashy orange, and he's, like, all happy and dancing around. And I'm like, great, let's haggle. And he says, like, I really need to sell these games to make a profit because my kids are starving and my wife left me. I'm like, I'm sorry, buddy, but that ain't cutting it. I want it for lower. And he's like, oh, you're really busting my balls here. All right, I'll take
Does
30 cents off.
Does he actually say that?
No,
because
he doesn't.
That doesn't seem very Nintendo-y.
No, he doesn't say that. He says, like, oh, you know, you're really good at haggling, and you're really... I just want to say bust my balls because that's just the easiest thing to think of. But he says, like, ah, you're being really hard on me. Fine, I'll give you a discount. And he says, like, 50 cents off. And the real money price goes down to $3.50. And eventually he'll be like, ah, you know, I'm just having such a rough time, and my nose hairs are really long, and I really wish that I could smell again. And I'm like, oh, well, it's a good thing I found these nose hair trimmers while I was playing your baseball minigame. So you give him nose hair trimmers, he cuts his nose hair, and he says, great, I'm going to give you like $3 off and we'll call it a day. So he knocks the game down to like $1.50. You buy it, and then that progresses the story of the game. So it's really weird, and... Again, to me, like, as I was playing through it and you know, buying games and progressing in the story, I started to feel like I'm going to get to a point where I have to buy a shitty minigame that I'm not going to like. Because, you know, when you buy a minigame collection, there's the ones you really love, like bumper balls in Mario Party. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ones you really hate that you never want to play. And whenever they come up during, like, random play, you're like, oh, just... let's just skip this. Yeah. So that's what I'm worried about. And I haven't really progressed further in the title past like the 2 games that actually looked really good. in the, that I'm not going to be able to see the rest of this weird, stupid story because the progression is locked behind buying these games. Now, I did hear that the further you get into the game, the less price the games are, but I don't know. It's just, it's really
that
weird.
That seems kind of odd, unless they put the absolute best game right at the very beginning. Like,
well, they did,
why would
I think.
Why would the better, or like, maybe not better games, but the games further along in the progression of the main game, like, why would they be of less value? That doesn't make any sense to me. Well, that worries me.
I think the way they do it is that you the first game you buy, the first game you buy is kind of like the home run derby I was describing, the one you get to try for free. So if you like it, then it's like, well, of course I'll buy it and I'll unlock it and I'll go from there. That is probably the most expensive game you'll buy. Like after that, it keeps going lower. So it starts at like $1.90, and then I bought my third game for like $1.50. So I assume as I continue to buy the rest of the 10 mini games, I could get down to like 40 cents for a mini game.
Yeah, and maybe.
I don't know. And that's why I stopped playing, because I played like the day it came out a couple weeks ago. I was like, I better not rush through this, because I'll hit a wall where I'm like, I don't like this, and I'm spending real money on stuff I know nothing about.
Yeah.
So I wanted to wait for some reviews.
So it's not free to try each mini game. It's just the very first one?
They give you, as you progress, they give you another demo of another game. So, like I said, it's baseball themed, and there are like four separate sub-games. So there's like batting, catching, which is actually really fun, where you have a glove and the balls come at your face. Bear with me here, folks. And you have to like move your glove up with the control stick, and it's all reflex based. So like the ball will go straight up, and you have to catch it, and it gets just faster and faster. Mm-hmm. And there's other ones like pitching, where you have to like tilt the 3DS up. And I know that sounds dumb, but it's or not dumb, but
it's very close to motion control, which generally I am morally against.
But it's really intuitive in the sense that it's just you follow on screen and you just move it up a little bit to like adjust, which is the best sort of like gyroscope type stuff on the Nintendo stuff or systems. You stuff too many times, and then you just hit A and it throws. And there's some other ones for like umping and stuff, but based on the reviews, it's like some of the mini games, like the umping one, they give you a demo. It's not that great. But there's like a bat making mini game that I haven't unlocked yet, where you build a bat, like you whittle it, and what is it when you put it in the thing and it spins and you just kind of shave?
The lathe?
Yeah. And then you get to test it, and based on how well you made the bat, the better it'll perform when you go to hit the ball out of the park, right? So it's interesting, and all the mini games are split up into, so each mini game you unlock has five separate challenge modes. So one is like just straight up hitting it, and then the other one's like trick pitches to like fool you into like missing it or stuff. It's really weird, and if you're a fan of like the WarioWare type stuff, like I suggest you just go pick it up on 3DS. It's free to try. And the story's really weird. It's very like Japanese moved over to America, because this is not a story that like Americans
kind of like a lost in maybe not even lost in translation, but just really highlights cultural differences, maybe, or like how a story in the state, you just like, you can listen to the story in the game and be like, yeah, that would never come out of the States.
Yeah, it's not even that Japanese. It's just really, it's really weird. Like, it's not something you'd expect to see from Nintendo. I wouldn't be surprised if it was made like by people outside of Nintendo and was like, oh, that's really cool, and they picked it up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, but like I said, free to try.
So Rusty's Real Deal Baseball for the 3DS. And this is, I'm guessing, in the Nintendo shop?
Yeah, it'd be in the Nintendo shop. And at the very least, like, the first mini game they give you is worth picking up if you really enjoyed it. Because that's the best one.
Yeah, I feel so bad. I haven't actually played on my 3DS since we did the episode with John about Zelda.
Well,
I literally haven't picked it up since then.
This would be a good chance to try out, like, the smaller titles on the eShop. I mean, They have another one out there for that's free to try that I never really got into, like Steel Diver. And I guess it's like a player-on-player, like, sub-match game.
Okay.
And you like, first-person play as a sub, and you, like, have to kill other subs.
Okay.
Again, totally out of left field for Nintendo. I never thought they'd build, like, a sub-sim, but I guess
that's probably why all of these things are kind of in the cheap or free-to-play kind of realm, is just because, like, Nintendo's testing the waters in a lot of ways, it seems, but... It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe. I kind of don't like baseball, so...
I don't like... I hate baseball video games, so I was surprised when I actually started to enjoy these little games. Cause
these little mini games?
It's the best part of... What's the best part about baseball? Like, hitting the ball...
The beer?
Fuck running. Like, nobody wants to run. Hitting the ball... Well, beer. It's a Nintendo game. There's no beverages to speak of.
Aww.
So hitting the ball, catching the ball, throwing the ball, but not at other people or at moving targets. Like, okay, sometimes there's moving targets, but like it's just the best parts of the baseball game, like boiled down into its simplest form and then made crazy by different challenges.
Mm. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, last weekend, I had a crazy intense gaming weekend. It was supposed to be crazy intense for other reasons, but Saturday night has become my raid night in WoW. So, I am trying to learn how to heal on my level 90 priest, and she's got all the gear that you get when you boost someone to 90, which is all 486 gear. So we're doing flex, and so flex doesn't really matter because there's just, you know, like, it's flexible. So there's no gear requirements or anything else. So we're doing the first wing of Siege of Orgrimmar, which we finished, which was actually really, really cool because we're all made up of people who have new 90s. So either people with new 90s or are completely new to raiding or are new to a certain spec. So we have a lot of people who normally heal that are practicing tanking or who normally tank and are doing DPS or, you know, like me, I'm normally DPS, but now I'm healing. So it's a really, really cool raid group. Everyone's really supportive and we beat Siege of Orgrimmar the first wing. So that was cool. The Shaw of Pride, we took him down first try. Well, not first try. We tried two or three times, but first night, I mean, like we didn't have to go back the next week and try him again. So
good.
I'm very excited. It went really well. I was third in healing, but I was absolutely destroyed by the people who were first and second. And I really think it has to do with gear. Like, with all, like, they were all like 530, 540, and me being down at 486, it was a huge difference. I did like 10% of the healing, and they each did like 25%. So it was like 50% of our raid healing was done by these two people, and then there was me next at 10. So, but anyways, it's okay. Because
it's okay, I survived.
I was mostly, like, I did way better than my first week. Oh, I switched to AoE healing, which did a lot better, too. So, you know, I'm rocking it. I'm doing really good. I'm really, really proud. So, that was fine. I spent all day Saturday playing in WoW because I was, you know, setting up add-ons and learning my different spells and, like, really trying to get everything all set up and be ready for raid night. So, I set aside Sunday... Uh-huh. To play ESO.
Good.
So I logged into ESO, fine, first thing in the morning. It was probably about 10 or 11 o'clock for me. So then I played for about an hour, and then I can't even remember what it was, but I had to get up. I think I went to go, like, make coffee or something. Mm-hmm. So I literally came back to log in, and it kept telling me my password was wrong. And I was like, well, that's really weird. So I was like, okay, go to, you know, like, account management. So it pops up the website, I log in, everything's fine. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. Maybe, you know, like I have a randomly generated password. Maybe I typed it wrong, copied it wrong, you know, whatever. So just for shits and giggles, I changed my password to something like really, really easy and like just one word. And I'm like, okay, so my password's changed. Log out of the website, log back into the website. Everything works. Okay, cool. Go to log into the ESO client. Your password's wrong. I was like, what? So I logged a ticket with support. It took them 24 hours to get back to me. They said, did you try turning it off and on again?
They did not. Turn one off and on again.
The client, they told me to try completely closing down the client and opening it up again. So
have you tried turning it off and on again?
I did my best. I can't. Period of 24 hours, Twitter and the depths of forums, which I'm not a huge fan of internet forums. They tend to, not so much the ones that are tied to, like, the Emu forums are awesome. You know, there's a lot of really supportive, really awesome people in the Emu forums, and really any forums built around, like, Frogpants, AIE, like, just the podcasting community, generally okay. But the internet forums at large scare the pants off me. They are generally scary and mean, so that's fine. I dove into the forums to try to find out what my problem was. So, Ryan, would you like to take a stab at what my problem was?
You paid too much money for this game. I don't know what happened.
So, the problem was, because basically I kept getting these notifications every time I would reopen the client that was saying, please give us your credit card information, like go to the website and put in your credit card information because you don't get charged for your first 30 days, but they want to make sure that you have a credit card. So when your 30 days are up, it's just an automatic charge, you know, same as WoW. WoW is set up the same way. So my subscription fee will be automatically charged after the first 30 days.
Is WoW set up that way? Because I don't
WoW is.
Well, yeah, of course your WoW is, but when you get 30 days of play, I don't think it should be required to have your credit card on their system. Like, I'm fine with it freezing your account automatically after 30 days.
Yeah, I don't think that it should be either, but that it's what I mean by that is that it's general practice within the MMO community that when they give you a free 30 days, they want your credit card information to charge you on that 31st day. So I get it. I mean, it's standard practice, so whatever. Whether I agree with the standard practice or not, I was not surprised when that was the thing. So I was literally like, I made Joel come in here because I clicked on every single clickable link mm-hmm. on the ESO account management website. Joel came in and watched me click everything and edit your account information. Only let me change my first and last name. There is no other account information. And I was literally like, I have my credit card. I want to pay them. What's the problem? The problem is that they launched on a Friday. They gave 5 days of early access to people who purchased anything, like any pre-order got 5 days of early access.
Wasn't easy.
So this was the thing, I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago, where I got an email from Future Shop with a code. And the code was like, here's your early access to ESO. Enjoy, go play. So I registered that code. That code apparently didn't tell ESO that I'd actually purchased the game. So when my 5 days of early access were up, which happened on the 4th, which was Friday, they gave a grace period of up to, I think, 8 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday, not even one business day after launch. So because I paid them tons of extra money and got the physical version of the collector's edition, my collector's edition didn't come till Monday, so they locked me out all day on Sunday. There was no documentation on the website. There was no documentation on the client. There was no help, like any support articles. Like all it said was the grace period goes until such and such a time, which I only found by searching the ESO forums for grace period. And then it just said the grace period goes until 8 a.m. Pacific, and after that, you're basically shit out of luck. And I was just like, oh my God.
That's really shady. I have some other peeps playing this game, and now I'm just upset that I said peeps. But it's Easter, so we'll let it slide.
Yeah.
They're playing, and they were saying that they got booted out and they weren't able to log in, and I guess they had made the connection that they have to have their credit card information in there. And I just said, man, that sounds pretty shady. And I mean, in an industry where, you know, you have to have the gamers on your side to do, like, come on, guys. Like, wait the 30 days for the credit card information. I know what they're trying to do.
It's not even, like, this isn't what pissed me off. Like, the credit card information didn't piss me off. What pissed me off is that the only group that they're alienating by doing this, by giving a grace period that is less than one business day long,
right,
they're only alienating the people that paid them the most money, the ones that bought the Imperial Edition in the physical form to get the statue, that pre-ordered. Like, these people are the ones who are your biggest fans, the ones that have been the biggest proponents of the game. Like, I have been defending ESO for literally months, and all I wanted to do was play on Sunday. I literally set the entire day aside and I was like, you know what? I just want to play ESO. I was having a ton of fun when I was in it. There was a little glitch in the main quest line and I didn't even care because I was just like, okay, I'm going to go do something else. And then I went and saved a town from vampires. So I was still really enjoying it until all of a sudden I had to spend my entire afternoon trying to figure out why my password wasn't working because support was try turning it off and back on again. Like, no, support, you know what the problem is. The problem is that I haven't entered an actual game code. I've entered an early access code, and now the early access code period is finished. Come on! You know what the problem is!
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah.
So angry.
That I could see that, and I would have been pissed.
I was ragey.
I would have done that, too. Ragey. I have a real problem when it comes to things that should work, but don't.
Like, the thing is, like, I paid so much money. I really wanted to play. It should have been easy to find that information. Like, the message that popped up with the client was, just go to account management and follow the prompts. I literally, like, I surfed around that website for an hour, and I was like, there's no prompts. I don't understand. Like, where are the prompts? I was like, I have a credit card, like, holding it up to my camera being like, take it.
You're just like a boiling pot of water. Like, eventually, 2 hours into forums, you're just like... sucks. But you're good now, right? Everything's fine. Everything's dandy.
See, this is the thing. Now that I know that I'm locked out either way right now, yes, my physical edition is here. I have my game codes. I haven't entered them because I knew I wasn't going to be able to play from Monday to Friday. So I'm like, why waste my 30 days? So I haven't tried it yet. So I don't know if I'm actually going to have access or not. I don't know if it's going to work. I assume it's going to, but I haven't actually tried it yet because I knew I'm like, I would just waste 5 days of my playtime, so...
That's smart. So the
follow-up... Every once in a while, I have shining moments of just complete genius.
It makes sense. Like, nobody's gonna have... Like, I know I wouldn't have time Monday to Friday to devote to an MMO that I'm really excited about, so...
I do too much podcasting.
Well, yeah, that's probably it. That's what they tell us. follow-up question. You had planned 2 full days for gaming.
Yep.
How did you avoid boyfriend aggro? Because we should gotta figure this out.
He has to work.
Ashley needs. I need to.
You need to get her a second job.
A second job, perfect. Because that sounds fair.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, so, why don't you take a second job?
I just tell him ahead of time. I'm like, all right. So, ESO just launched. So, by the way, I'm going to be doing that on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm joking. Like, I mean, I'm allowed to play video games. When there's stuff to do around the house, like, I man up and I'm like, okay, I guess Seattle will have to save itself some other time. I'll just go do this other stuff. No,
Seattle.
That's good.
So what's Seattle?
Seattle? Oh, well, that's obviously the best PS4 game to ever come out ever.
It's just called Seattle?
No, it's called Infamous Second Son.
So how is that one?
It's amazing. Infamous, are you familiar with the series at all?
Vaguely. I've never actually played it because, again, it's a PS title, a PlayStation title. Mm-hmm. So where it's only on those consoles and I don't have one. I've seen it, but I've never played it.
Infamous is like, you guys really like, you and Joel really love the Batman series. And I know Joel would really dig the Infamous series because it's very comic book influenced. Some of the cutscenes in it are straight up like motion art that you would find in a really cool like motion art comic.
Nice.
So yeah, it's really neat. It's this one takes place 7 years after the first two. New hero, new setting.
Is that fairly close to what the actual release dates were like? Like, has it been 7 years since the last Infamous title?
No, it's only actually been a couple years. I think the last one came out 2 or 3 years ago in the summer. So, it's not quite like in line, but I think they used that 7 year gap to their advantage to set up like a new world that's sort of influenced by the actions of the conclusion to the second game. The game is actually based on a morality system, so it's interesting in the sense that you can be a good hero or you can be a bad hero.
I like those games.
Yeah, now it's more in line with like the Star Wars theory of good and evil, like rather than like the Fable side, whereas either way you get cool ass powers and they're very similar, like force, like it's it's like Force Lightning, except if you're good, it's blue, or if it's if you're bad, it's red, kind of thing.
That's kind of cool. And I mean, I really liked what they did in Mass Effect, in the last one, Mass Effect 3, where yes, you got Paragon points, and yes, you got Renegade points, but all together, that was your reputation, and the higher your reputation got, the more powerful you got. So it wasn't so much like, in a lot of games, it's like, well, I have 5 points of evil and 15 points of good, so I have, like, the level 15 good power. It's like, but no, if you combine those, like, you still progressed as if like that kind of mirrored how far you'd gotten in the game in Mass Effect 3. So that was something that I really enjoyed, that it was more of a combined thing as opposed to two separate things. So is it closer to like a Mass Effect 3 look or a Mass Effect 2 look, and or like a Fable?
Yeah, it's system? It's a slider. So like you sort of pick one way because that influences the powers you're allowed to unlock. So you can do good actions, which basically makes you like a hero to the people and everybody, and you do only, you know, you do only bad onto those that do, you know, bad onto others, whatever that thing is. And then if you want to go evil, you're just, you're a dick to everybody, and you're like, I'm a superhero and I got powers and all you other folks are normies and I'm gonna kill you all, kind of thing. You still progress through the story in a similar, like, you're still doing the same stuff. You get very different cutscenes because your character acts differently, so they've basically mo-capped and did the VO for each cutscene twice. So so one is like your brother is a main character in this game, and it's kind of you and your older brother kind of going to Seattle to save your tribe back home. You're actually, which I thought was really interesting. I mean, you're not just another white guy. You're actually, I can't remember the tribe name.
But this is a test.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it because I'll butcher it. But it's, you're Native American, and you're in your tribe's land. And I guess what happens is these conduits, which are these people with powers, escape and sort of infiltrate your tribe, and they start running around. And these conduits are bad people, and they actually call them bioterrorists. And the police come to grab them because they've escaped. And in the confusion, you kind of grab one of the bioterrorists to like say, hey, you know, we need to get out of here. You know, you need to leave because you're disrupting this place. And you end up stealing his powers.
Ooh,
so you're fancy. A conduit too, but you didn't know it because you didn't have any powers because you never touched a conduit. I mean, it's very bad to touch conduits.
Ah, apparently.
I guess. But you start off with smoke powers, and then as you progress, the whole storyline is you have to get to Seattle to get the main chick, I guess, who I'm explaining this very, I'm jumping around here, but I guess at the end of it all, like,
and don't spoil it too much. Like,
I'm not,
don't say the end of it all.
No. The end of this, the beginning,
the world and everything.
Basically
awesome.
At the end, everybody's happy and it's all, no. Basically what happens is the police show up, like the government police about, thanks, clown baby. He touches his conduit all the time. He says, and, you know, well, that's good. The police show up as a government organization called the DUP, and they're run by this basically a dictator, but she has like concrete powers, so she can like manipulate concrete and have it like appear out of nowhere to like encase people. Like, that's how she like catches conduits. She just encompasses them, like sort of like Han Solo in Carbonite.
That is what I was going to say.
Yeah. So
sounds like Star Wars.
Yeah, so what she does is to get information out of the main character and the tribe is she basically causes concrete to come out of their bones, which is very disturbing and hurts all of them, basically takes the whole tribe down. And your task basically is to go to Seattle, get her power, and then go back home and save your entire tribe, who are dying slowly from this concrete protruding from their bones. It's very disturbing. Yeah, so it's got like that nice touch, and it goes from there. But what I wanted to talk about was I finished it. It was amazing. If you have a PS4, you probably should go get this, because what else are you playing? But at the end of it, they have this cool little mini game called Paper Trail. And you connect your PlayStation account to a website, which is infamouspapertrail.com. And you get to do these cool little mini games on the website, like investigation type mini games. So in the game, you'll go to like a crime scene and someone died. you take pictures of, like, say, the body and some evidence, and then you, like, steal evidence that the police left there for some reason, and it all uploads to your account. So you put the controller down, you pause it, you go to your computer, and you go to the website, and you're like, you see all these photos, and then there's, like, these weird, like, puzzles. And, like, I wrote down notes, so there was, like, notes and stuff, and there was, like, origami, and at first I was like, this is kind of lame, but then I started to realize that I was having a lot of fun just solving all these issues, and you're, like, entering stuff into websites, like, you're actually, like, solving crimes and looking stuff up on databases and watching, like, security cam footage, and then when you solve that part, it tells the game, okay, it's time to load the next section. And it's like a progression there. It's really neat. I wish more games did this. Like, they, you know, like, made a more compelling second screen sort of experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to just like, hey, you could look at the map. Well, so it's nice. It's really interesting.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. We're running a little bit long, so
play too many
again
games.
we're gonna miss Amazon, and we have some really cool stuff to talk about Smash Brothers, but I think we're gonna have to bump it to next week. So I just wanted to say quickly that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. And we also wanted to take a moment to thank our patrons. So if you would like to become a patron of The Gamers Inn, you can do so at patreon.com/TheGamersIn. Every dollar that we get goes toward making the show better. So our first goal is $50 a month, which is going to go towards making Gamers Inn Game Night a more regular thing. Mm-hmm. That is where Ryan and I, we play every Thursday night. We live stream whatever game patrons vote on. And if you are a patron at the $5 level or higher, then you get preferred invites to come and game with us. So head on over to Patreon. Throw us a couple of bucks if you've got it. We would really appreciate it. As always, The Gamers Inn will be free, but every dollar does help us make the show better. So this week, we would like to thank Eric Booth for being a patron of The Gamers Inn. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Ryan, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just the game night, we had a blast.
We did. Last
night. We played with Josh, a new patron. We put out a activity post. I don't know if this is how we'll do it every time, but this is how we're going to do it for now. We did put out an activity post on our Patreon page, which is only seen by patrons, and asked them to say, hey, what game should we play tonight? And because we've been playing a lot, excuse me, I'm choking up here. It was just so awesome last night. We played Diablo, and
again, for the, what, third week in a row? Fourth week in a row?
Yeah, and we were like, we should play something different, and they suggested we play Diablo, so...
Yeah, so...
We did, and we had a blast, and we want to play a lot more games with a lot more people, so come on.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I think that pretty much does it for this week. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Amove Radio, The Angry Chicken, and the brand new podcast, Into the Nexus. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do so. You can find me at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on youtube.com/JocelynMoffett. We're also on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and tell us about your awesome experiences in ESO or any of the other games that we talked about tonight, you can do so at info@GamersInPodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffett for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week.